All right, let's open our Bibles again to Romans chapter 6. I have a title that I believe will get everyone's interest. Something that we all wonder, how could I possibly do this? The title of the message is, Don't Let Sin Reign. I'd like to know how sin would not reign over me, don't you? Well, I believe, Lord willing, if he be merciful to us, we'll see that from the answer to that from our text this morning. Now, Paul's been teaching us that the believer is dead to sin. If you believe Christ, you're dead to sin. Now, you know that does not mean that we're dead to the desire to sin. We're not dead. If that was true, we'd all be sorely disappointed, wouldn't we? We'd have no hope. We're not dead to the presence of sin in these bodies. We're not even dead to enjoying sin. We're not dead to that. That old man is strong, is alive, he's unchanged as he ever was. But the believer is dead to sin in this way. We're dead to the guilt of sin. Not guilty, because Christ was made guilty for us. The believer is dead to the punishment of sin, because Christ has already been punished as our substitute. And because we're dead to sin, the believer is dead to the law. The believer has no relationship with the law whatsoever. The believer is dead to anything the law requires, because Christ already kept the law for us as our representative. The believer doesn't have to keep the law in order to be justified, in order to be made not guilty. Christ is our justification. The believer does not have to keep the law. You don't have to look to the law to see what you're supposed to do in order to be sanctified, in order to keep yourself holy. Christ is our sanctification. Now, does that mean that the believer's conduct is not important? Does that mean the believer's conduct in this world doesn't matter? Well, of course not. I say with Paul, God forbid. God forbid we'd think that. Well, if I'm dead to the law, what's my rule of life? If the law is not going to be my rule of life, how am I supposed to know how to conduct myself if I don't look to the law to see what to do and what not to do? How am I supposed to know? Well, the believer lives looking to Christ. Christ is the believer's rule of life. You look to him, you rest in him, and don't look to the law in the least. Let's look here at our text and see if that's not what the Word of God teaches. Verse 11, Romans chapter 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, because you're dead with Christ, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, don't let sin, this is what Paul's telling us, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, in that body that's sitting in those chairs right now. Don't let sin reign in it. Just never forget this, that our conduct reflects upon our Savior. Now, every believer in this room will amen this. I want to honor the Savior. I do. In my daily life, when I go out to do whatever it is, if I go to Walmart, I mean, I want to honor the Savior, don't you? I want to live in holiness, in obedience, and I just love to live, I would say a day, I'd like to live a second in just sinless perfection, just in total, complete faith and love and obedience to the Savior, wouldn't you? I haven't yet done it, and I don't expect I will till the Lord calls me home. Then how do I not let sin reign in this body? I still desire to sin. The sin is always present with me. Everything I do is sin. Then how can I not reign? Will sin not reign over me? You can go to some writers. I mean some good writers. And you can read this. You don't allow sin to reign by just refusing to sin. Even though you want to, you just refuse to do it. Is that how I would not let sin reign? I won't do it. Do I not let sin reign by going over to the law and check and say, okay, well, I should do that and I should do that. Oh, I shouldn't do that. By following that checklist, is that how I don't let sin reign in my mortal body? No. No, 1,000 times no. Now strive to not sin. Strive to live a life of holiness. Make that your goal every day. But while you strive for that, know the truth of the situation. All we're going to do is sin. Our old nature that's unchanged, that's all we're going to do is sin. Sin's mixed with everything we do. So strive to live a holy life. Be an honest, kind, compassionate person. Do that. But strive knowing this. Still yet, all we're going to do is sin. So we don't win the battle against sin. We don't let sin not reign over us by anything we do in these mortal bodies. Right? We win the battle against sin. We don't let sin reign over us by looking to Christ. The answer to everything we need is always look to Christ. Look to Him to be your obedience to the law. Whatever you do, do not go to the law to check and see how you're doing in this matter of sin. Don't do that. The law can only do 2 things to us, and both of them are bad. Number one, if you go to the law and see what does the law say I shouldn't do, that's all you'll want to do. The law makes us want to sin. The more I desire to sin, the more sin's going to reign over me. You know, some preacher constantly telling people what to do and what not to do, telling them how to live, giving them a template for how to live, is just going to do nothing but beat them down because we can't do it. Just tell me what I should do. That's just going to make me not want to do it. Even if I wanted to do it and you told me I have to, now I'm going to not want to. Just, that's his flesh. So the law, all it's going to do is make us want to sin. And secondly, don't go to the law to get a checklist what you're supposed to do, because all the law can do is show us our guilt. All the law can do is say, you didn't live up to it. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Guilty, 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 guilty. Every time we look at the law, that's what the law is going to tell us. And the more I see my guilt, the more beat down I'm going to be. So looking to the law in this matter of battling against sin, it's just going to depress us more. We don't let sin reign in our mortal bodies this way. There's only one way. It's looking to Christ to be both our justification and our sanctification. Being justified is being made not guilty. The only way I can be made not guilty is looking to Christ, my justifier. Being sanctified is holy. The only way I can ever be holy is by looking to Christ to be my holiness. So here's how we live. Here's how we walk through this world, looking to Christ, trusting Christ to be our obedience. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now don't yield. Paul says don't yield. Don't yield yourself to sin. Don't surrender to it. But fight against it. But don't fight against it by trying to keep the law. Does that make sense? Strive to be holy, but don't fight against sin trying to keep the law. Sin will whip us every time that we look to the law. As soon as we look to the law, that battle's over before it even gets started. The way sin controls us is through the law. Then quit it. Quit looking to the law to see how to live. The believer is not motivated by the law in the first place. The believer is motivated by love for Christ. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's the love of Christ that motivates us. It's love for Him that motivates us. It's grace that motivates the believer, not law. We fight against sin by trusting Christ to be our righteousness. Don't yield yourself. This is what Paul's saying. Don't yield yourself to the demands of the law. Yield to Christ. Surrender to Christ. Look at Romans chapter 10. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us was the Jews' problem. The self-righteousness is their problem. They'll not surrender to Christ. They'll not submit themselves to his righteousness, to his obedience. They won't give up their own obedience to law and submit themselves to Christ. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves. They've not yielded themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, this is good news for sinners. The gospel, if we preach the gospel in such a way it's bad news, we've not preached the gospel. The gospel's good news. Here's good news for guilty sinners. You don't have to do all the work it takes to keep the law. Just rest in Christ. We don't let sin reign over us when we rest in Christ our righteousness. And the rest of this chapter, Paul gives us four motivations for the believer to live a holy life by looking to Christ, not the law. Number one, live looking to Christ. Live trusting Christ. Live not trying to keep the law. This is so obvious. You're not under law. You're under God's grace. If you're not under the law, what are you doing looking to it? Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Christ died to set his people free from the bondage to the law. Then why would I want to go back to that bondage? Paul wrote a whole letter to the church at Galatia to establish that point. If Christ has made us free, what are we doing trying to go back to bondage to the law for? Now, a believer is under rule. We're under the rule of grace. Grace. We're under the rule of grace that saves sinners that never will do anything to deserve it. We're under the rule of grace. We're under forgiving grace, pardoning grace, regenerating grace, life-giving grace, calling grace, keeping grace. We're under God's sovereign grace to his people. It's free, sovereign grace that sets his people free from the bondage to the law. What a wonderful story of grace for the guilty. That's the believer's motivation to not want to sin. God's been so gracious to me. Why would I want to sin against him? Grace never tries to excuse sin. Never. And it doesn't excuse sin any more than the law does. Grace forgives sin, but it doesn't excuse it. Being under grace. How can I tell if I'm under grace? If I'm not under the law, but under grace. Being under grace means that we trust Christ to save us without any help from me whatsoever. So, don't strive to keep the law. Why would you? Christ already did it for you. He already kept the law for you. And if we think, after conversion, if we somehow think, you know, I can improve my standing before God. I can make myself a more blessed child. I can make it more likely God will bless me. I can make myself closer to God than somebody else, you know, by keeping the law outwardly and making people think, oh, wow, look how little he sins, what a straight, upright man he is. If I think that, you know what I really think? I think the obedience of Christ to the law is not enough. It might be just enough to save me, but I can improve it. God forbid. God forbid. To be under grace means that we trust Christ to save us by himself. The believer does not strive to keep the law. We're saved by grace, not our law keeping. The believer doesn't strive to keep the law to keep ourselves holy. Christ already did that for us. See, we're free from that. We're free from everything the law requires. That's how I know if I'm under grace, if I just rest in Christ. He's my obedience to the law. Well, here's how I can tell if I'm under law. I am under law if I think that any part of salvation has anything to do with me keeping the law, even part of the law. If I think that, I'm under the law. I'm under everything the law requires. I am under the law. If I think that by keeping the law, I can make myself a better Christian, I put myself in bondage to the law. What horrible, awful bondage. Well, we don't desire to be under the bondage of the law, do we? We desire to be under the rule of God's grace. God's grace gives life. The law promises death. God's grace gives us the obedience of Christ. All the law does is demand I produce it. Grace forgives sin. The law just shows us our sin. Grace grants repentance. The law doesn't grant repentance. The law doesn't tell you how to be righteous. All the law does to me is make me want to sin. I don't want anything to do with the law, do you? I want God's grace. Thank God His people are not under the law. We're under grace. So quit looking to the law. Oh, but now we got to deal with this flesh. Here's what our flesh, not just the Pharisee out there, here's what our flesh, that old man, here's what he's whispering in our ear, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. See, the flesh, the Pharisaic flesh that's in us says this, well, since grace forgives all my sin, no matter what, grace forgives all my sin, then I'm just not going to worry about how I live. I'm just not going to worry about how much sin I commit. If I think that, you know what that means? I don't know anything about God's grace. God's grace does not make us want to sin. God's grace motivates us with a heartfelt desire to not sin. I'm looking for every way I can to not sin because of God's grace, His free, undeserved grace. Grace is a much stronger motivation to a holy life than the law ever was. The law uses fear and just it doesn't work. Because of the weakness of our flesh, the law never promotes a holy life. And all it does is promote rebels. But God's grace gives a true heartfelt desire to a holy life. Not to excuse sin, but to seek holiness. So live this life. If you would not have sin reign over you, live looking to Christ. Don't look to the law because you're not under the law. You're under grace. All right, second. There's a second motivation. Live looking to Christ. Trusting Christ. Don't live looking to the law because you're not servants to the law. You're not servants of sin. You're servants of righteousness. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And here's what Paul's saying, don't yield. Don't yield to sin, fight against it. Make it your goal to not sin. But here's the key. While you try to live a holy life, don't yield to the demands of the law. If you try to obey the law, all you've done is make yourself a servant to it. You've made yourself a servant. If you're a servant to sin or servant to the law, you've made yourself a servant to sin. And you've made yourself a servant to death. See, whoever you obey, that's who you belong to. If you try to obey the law, then you belong to the law. But the believer's dead to the law. The law has nothing to say to the believer. You hear me? The law's got nothing to say to the believer. I thought of this illustration. Do you know that I don't know a single law in China? I don't know one. And I'm not interested in finding out. I don't care what the laws are. The laws of China. Now, are they real laws? Are they enforceable laws? You betcha. Go over there and break one. I bet you'll find out. But I don't care anything about what those laws, even though they're legitimate, enforceable laws, I care nothing about the laws of China. You know why? I don't belong to China. Believer, The same thing applies to the Ten Commandments to you and the entire law of Moses. You don't belong to it. Christ has translated you to a different kingdom. Those laws have nothing to say to you. You don't belong to them. Well, then who do I belong to? The believer belongs to Christ. We're in his kingdom of grace. So we care about God's grace. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's ended the believer's relationship with the law. So the believer obeys him. Paul says you've obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What's that? It's the gospel of Christ. And you've obeyed it. You see what he says here? From the heart. Not with the hands. Not with this mortal body. Not with the actions of this body. You've obeyed it from the heart. That's faith. It's faith in Christ that sets us free from sin's dominion over us. And we here's how we obey the gospel. When we quit trying to keep the law and just rest in Christ who already kept it for us. Christ has made us free from the law. Now you're still a servant. You're the servant to whom you obey. Whoever it is you belong to, that's whose servants you are. Believer, you belong to Christ. Then you serve him. Serving out of love and thanksgiving. Not out of fear, not because you have to, but because of his undeserved grace. Believer, serve our Savior as sons and daughters, not as hired guns. Not as hired guns. If you're a hired gun, I saw this show. It's assassin. He's out trying to kill this person. And they can't escape the guy. I mean, where they are, he's got advantage. He's going to try to shoot him. And this was the smartest solution to that problem I've ever heard of. He's a hired gun. Somebody hired him to kill me. You know how I'm going to solve this problem? I'm going to go pay more and make him my hired gun. If we're serving Christ as hired guns, somebody can come along and pay you more, offer you more, entice you more to go serve them. You can't do that to a son. You can't do that to a daughter. Sons and daughters serve out of love. That's how we don't let sin reign over us. Everybody who serves the law out of fear, how the law will punish them. Everybody who serves Christ serves him out of a thankful heart for his mercy and grace to us. Everybody who serves the law, at the root of the issue is this. I want some honor. Even if I know I'm not going to get any honor before God, but I want some honor before men. I want somebody to take note how straight and godly man I am. Everybody who serves Christ serves out of a heartfelt desire to serve and glorify him. That's the desire of a believer. That's the desire that grace gives us. And here's a warning. Trying to make ourselves a better person. I wish I was a better person. I mean, I really do. But if I try to be a better person by keeping the law, you know what the result of that's going to be? Self-righteousness. Every single time. Even if I don't want to be self-righteous, even that's not my real goal in the situation, if I try to make myself a better person, try to make you think I'm a better person by keeping the law, it's going to produce self-righteousness every time. But obeying the gospel by trusting Christ and resting in him to be our obedience, that'll make us a humble person. That'll make us a whole lot easier to get along with, won't it? So you who believe Christ, you're the servants of righteousness. But it ain't always been that way, has it? Look at verse 19. So here's what I'm talking about, killing this self-righteous attitude. Paul says, "Now I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You had no interest in righteousness." Now Paul said, I use this illustration because of the weakness of our flesh to be able to understand spiritual truths. He said, when you were only in the flesh, before the Lord saved you, how did you live? Well, every one of us lived in uncleanness and iniquity. I don't care what your background is, whether you are a drunk in the gutter or you are a deacon in the Southern Baptist Church. I don't care who you were. Before Christ saved us, when we were in the flesh, we lived in uncleanness and iniquity. We yielded to it. You just yielded yourself to serve sin. And more than likely, I think I can safely say this, but everybody in this room, when you were just from the time you were teeny tiny and you grew to an adolescent, and a teenager, an adult, I bet every person in this room always knew what the law said. Did you always know that you're not supposed to tell a lie to your mama? Did you always know that? How come you did? You're servants of sin. You yielded yourself to it. The law didn't stop you from doing it, did it? And suppose you were in false religion. You still yielded yourself to uncleanness. You yielded yourself to the greatest uncleanness there is. Your own righteousness. Your own obedience. You yielded yourself to that. And at that time, you had absolutely no interest in the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ didn't say anything to you, did it? You had no interest in the gospel? Oh, somebody brought you. Just somebody preaching the gospel. You just thought, oh, when will this guy shut up? He got nothing to say to me. Sovereign grace? Oh, I don't want to hear that. That doesn't say anything to me. What a mess. Why aren't we a mess? But that's all we could be because we're dead. Spiritually dead. We're dead to righteousness. We didn't have any relationship with righteousness and we didn't have any relationship with Christ the Savior. Oh, but if God saved you. That's not true anymore, is it? Oh, it's not true now. Now you have a relationship with righteousness because Christ is your righteousness. Now you're dead to the damning power of sin because Christ was made a curse for you. Now you're dead to the law. You're dead to everything the law requires because Christ died in your place. Is that true? That's true for every believer, isn't it? Then live in this world like you've got no relationship to the law. Live in this world like a citizen of the United States, especially as long as we're here in Kentucky, treats the laws of China. They don't say anything to you. Treat the law of God the exact same way. You're dead to it, and you're alive to the gospel because God has saved you. What your interest is in the gospel of free, sovereign, saving grace, not in what the law says. You just, once God saved you now, have no interest in what the law says, just like you used to have no interest in what the gospel says. That's what he's saying. Just completely ignore the law and rest in Christ. Now, this is part of what Paul's saying here. Let's never forget where we came from. Let's never forget what we were and where we were when God found us. Don't ever forget that. I'm telling you, wherever and whatever we were when God found us, that's what we still are. That old flesh has not changed a bit. And that will promote humility. And it'll kill self-reliance. You know, self-righteousness, what that really is just self-reliance. Remembering where we were and what we were when God found us. That'll kill self-reliance. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And remembering that. Now, you can't preach the gospel. It's an utter impossibility to preach the gospel without preaching man's total depravity, our complete inability to do anything for ourselves. And being reminded of that will give the believer the desire to obey the gospel by trusting Christ and not in anything that I do. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, those are awful people. Yeah, they shouldn't inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, wait a minute. Such were some of you. Such were all of us. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were all of us, but you're washed. You're justified. You're sanctified. Then live with a thankful heart, serving God out of love. Live looking to Christ who redeemed you and running away from the law. All right, here's the third motivation. Back in our text, Romans 6. Live looking to Christ and trusting Christ. Not trying to keep the law, because you desire good fruit, not dead fruit. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then of those things whereof you're now ashamed? You know, always it bothers me if we talk about those things that we used to do, like we have some glory in it. You know, like, well, that's what I used to do, but the way I talk about it makes it seem like I wish I was still doing it. You know, there's a lot of fun in that. Well, I'd be ashamed of those things, shouldn't we? What fruit had you then, and those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. All they bring is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. You know, the believer is ashamed of ourselves all the time. We're ashamed. We're ashamed of what we used to be before the Lord saved us. There was no fruit in any of that stuff. The only fruit that would come from it is death. I'm just ashamed of it. And we're ashamed of ourselves now. Just ashamed. We don't love the Lord like we should. I'm so ashamed. Oh, I'm ashamed. I don't trust Him like I should. I don't walk and follow Him like I should. I'm just utterly ashamed of myself. But a believer does have a desire to live a holy life because we desire good fruit. Fruit that will honor the Savior. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Now, what is fruit that honors the Savior? Well, it's not fruit we produce. You know, we're talking about here about good fruit. It's not fruit we produce. It's His fruit in us. It's the fruit of the Spirit that He produces and allows to hang off us. Look here at Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This is the work, this is the fruit that the flesh produces. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All that fruit, this is the fruit our flesh can produce, produces death. It cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh, in the deeds of the flesh, trying to obey the law. Walk in the Spirit. Live in His Spirit that He's put in you. The fruit that He's put in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's good fruit. Because it's fruit of the Holy Spirit, which He enables us to bear. And then fourthly, here's the fourth motivation. Live looking to Christ. Live trusting Christ. Don't live looking to the law to find out what you're supposed to do. Because God's given you a great gift. Verse 23, back in our text, Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the believer doesn't want anything to do with the law. All the law can do for us, if we try to keep it, is make us sin more. And the wages of sin is death. Sin deserves death, eternal death. Well, I don't want anything to do with it, do you? I don't want to be a servant of the law. If the wages I'm going to get from the law is death, I don't want anything to do with the law. And God pays fair wages. God pays fair wages. He gives all of us exactly what we earn. No more, no less. Either what we've earned in ourselves trying to keep the law, which is death, or what we've earned in Christ our representative, which is eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ earned acceptance. He earned peace with God for his people by keeping the law for them. And he gives them that life and that acceptance as a free gift. As a free gift. Then live serving him out of a thankful heart for this unspeakable gift that he's given you. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Live serving Christ. Live avoiding sin out of a thankful heart, because he's already, don't try to earn something from him. He's already given you everything. Colossians 2 verse 6. As you have therefore received this gift, you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in. Now there's how you walk through this world, not letting sin reign over you. How did you first receive Christ? Huh? Did you receive him because you kept the law and you're better than somebody else? How did you first receive Christ? By grace, through faith. Then keep walking that way. In God's grace, through faith in Christ. Now let me give you this in closing. I've said it before, it's worth saying it again. Don't look to the law. Don't look to the law for salvation. Don't look to the law to find out how to live, what to do, what not to do. Don't try to keep the law, thinking you'll get some spiritual blessing from God. Simply look to Christ. Is the law going to save you? Can you keep the law and save yourself? Well, of course not. Then what are you looking to it for? Don't look to Christ. Is keeping the law, is that going to make you more saved? Is that going to make you more holy than somebody else? Is it going to make you closer to God than you already are in Christ? Well, of course it won't. Then what are you looking to the law for? Don't look to it. Look to Christ. Now I know that this is what this text is saying. This is the gospel. Preaching it this way. Look to Christ for your obedience. Look to Christ for your justification. Look to Christ for your sanctification. That's the gospel that saves sinners. That's the gospel that motivates his people too. I'm not going to motivate you to live a holy life by just jumping to, you better do this, you better do this, you better not do this. That's not going to motivate you. You're going to say, who's that guy? But this gospel of justification, salvation, sanctification, redemption in Christ, this gives, telling you to look to Christ, that gives you assurance of salvation. Brother Todd Niver says, he's always liked preaching that makes me know I'm saved. Preaching Christ this way, telling you to look to Christ, that lets you know I'm saved. He's my salvation. And then there's this too. You know, we don't preach the gospel to the air. We don't preach the gospel indifferent to people who hear the gospel. If you don't preach, I suppose you can't understand is how desperately I want you to see Christ. How desperately I want you to close with Christ and come to him and rest in him and find joy and peace and salvation in him. And I also know this. I know that people going through this life, this is a tough, tough, tough journey. This world's a tough place to live. And people are hurting. People are bereaved. People are wonder what to do. Would you get any comfort in me telling you, here's the message, don't commit, here's how you don't let sin reign, don't sin, just don't do it? And would you draw any comfort from that? If I took this text and told you, you know, a child of God gets to the point he don't want to sin anymore and he don't enjoy sin anymore, and he can just not commit sin by fighting against it. And the way we show everybody we're a child of God is we just don't commit sin anymore. We commit a whole lot less than other people. Would that comfort your heart? Or would it just add to your burden? It would add to your burden, wouldn't it? Then that's not the gospel, and that's not what this text is saying. I'll tell you what this text is saying. Live looking to Christ always for everything. Look to him for your salvation. Look to him for your righteousness. Look to him for your sanctification. Look to him to be your guide. Look to him to be your motivation. Look to him to be your comfort. You will not let sin reign over you if you trust in Christ and look to him. I hope the Lord will bless that to our hearts and give us the faith to do it. Look to him. All right, let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift you've given your people, the unspeakable gift of your Son. What good news there is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness of sin in him. There's righteousness for sinners in him. We freely confess we are such vile, rotten, hopeless, helpless, dead sinners. There's no other way for us to be made righteous other than through the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. What good news. There's cleansing in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We freely confess we're such vile, corrupt sinners. There's no other way for us to be cleansed, made holy and just and right before you other than being washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We freely confess we are so vile and such darkness and inability and deadness, it's impossible for us to walk through this world keeping the law. Oh, but how we thank you for faith to look to our Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him, to rest in him. And Father, I beg of you that you would, in your mercy and grace, allow every person here this morning that you grant us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would allow us leaving here looking to him, finding our rest in him, finding our comfort and assurance in him. Let his name be so magnified in our hearts that we not hear what the law says anymore. Just look to him, hear him, rest in him, trust him, and serve him. He's worthy. Father, we know we ask a great, great blessing. But how we thank you, you're the God of all grace. Oh, what great God we have to come and lay these cares and these worries and at your feet. Cause us to leave them there and rest in you. It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus.